Welcome to a brand new episode of Inside the Ropes here on the main feed. My name is Kenny McIntosh and I'm sitting beside, I can smell her cologne that is herself. It's Sondra. Hi, Sondra. How are you?
My cologne that is myself. That sounds scintillating. Hi. Yeah, no, I'm doing pretty well. It is exciting to be here in Chicagoland. It kind of bugs me that everyone's like, oh, we're going to Chicago for StarCast and whatnot. And I'm like, we're in Schaumburg. Like, we're not in Chicago. But it's fine.
Schaumburg is the Chicago of the Chicago suburbs.
Sure. Sure it is. I mean, I love Schaumburg. Schaumburg's fine. It's much nicer that we don't have to be in the city because it's just, you know, a little easier to get around. But no, I'm happy to be here. I had fun being at StarCast earlier. I had a pretty uneventful drive down, which is good, unlike driving home from Toronto. It's only minor construction.
It's 9:06 p.m. Chicago time right now. I've been awake since midnight last night, Chicago time.
Which is insane.
So this is going to be short and sweet, and I apologize, but like we try and do as much content as we can, so hopefully you'll forgive that this is going to be short, but it's going to be sweet, and it's going to be from the heart. And there's a TGI Fridays order on the way, so that will indicate how long this lasts.
I'm not going to lie, I'm really looking forward to that TGI Fridays
because
order.
When he's downstairs, we are going to cut this off.
I ate like a breadstick and a cookie today.
That's good for you.
Yeah.
It's a breadstick more than usual. I'm kidding.
I mean, I was really sick yesterday, to be fair, which means I probably should have eaten things that aren't a breadstick and a cookie. But like, I didn't want to eat too much because I had to drive and it's a whole situation.
Yes, but we are here. We are in Schaumburg, Illinois. It's funny because, like, as a promoter in the UK, like, I couldn't say, here we are in Glasgow if we're in, like, Motherwell, which is about the same distance.
It's right there.
Is the same distance as what this is. But, like, in the States, like, you can just say, hey, we're in Chicago, and you're not.
It's that weird thing in Illinois where, like, people think of Illinois as, like, Chicago and then everywhere else. Like, because, I mean, all of the suburbs, right? Like, Mr. Saunders' family lives in the Chicago suburbs. And so it's like, oh, yeah, they're from Chicago. They're not from Chicago. They're from West Carroll. You know, like.
Yep. It's a whole thing. But we had a good night tonight. We were at StarCast. We did some interviews with Darby Allin, Jungle Boy, Luchasaurus, and Marco Stunt. They're going to be going up on our YouTube channel soon, youtube.com/InsideTheRopes. But Saunders, do you mind if I take the floor and just do a quick plug?
Go ahead. Go right ahead.
I should let people know, Patreon is changing. And, you know, you may be wondering why. And the thing is, so we have for a long time tried to remain ad-free here at Inside the Ropes. And we put a ton of free content out. And it's difficult because...
That's why you don't hear us talking about Blue Chew all the time.
I'm open to talking about Blue Chew. Blue Chew is one that I would happily take on board. But, like, I've always... Well, so for years, I've had the mindset of... you know, people who are putting a lot of time into Inside the Ropes should be paid for such endeavors, and we just put out so much free content. And then because SmackDown was starting, it was like, right, okay, so we're gonna have to review another show. Anyway, long story short, we decided to restructure Patreon and how it goes. I wanted to just talk you through what the new levels are and what they're going to mean. So if you can pledge for us and you feel the need to, I would very much appreciate it. I think we do offer the best amount of content that any Patreon does. So there's a $1 level, which is purely a thank you. So, you know, if you want to chuck us a dollar every month, just say, you know, we appreciate you, then that'd be great. I should say that for the main feed, there's going to be the Inside the Ropes podcast once a week, the Power Slam podcast once a week, and Interview Cast once a month. Interview Cast will be coming back, but I'm so busy that, like, once a month I can do 100%. So I'll do that. Here are the other levels. Starting August 31st, which is this Saturday, At the $6 level, which is the lowest level if you want to get content, we have the Pod of Thunder once a week. We have the NXT TakeOver reviews once a quarter. Classic ITR podcast that will be going up once a week starting at the end of September. Retro pay-per-view reviews every single month. One over to you every single month. And the PowerSlam podcast 24 hours early. That's all at the $6 level. If you fancy giving us a little bit more, you can up yourself to $8 and you get all of that good stuff. And you get the weekly Retro, Raw, and SmackDown podcast, which will be 2 hours every single week of Sondra and I talk about Raw and SmackDown all in one. AEW pay-per-view reviews every quarter. All non-Big Four WWE pay-per-views, which means that you'll get a review of 8 out of the 12 pay-per-views on that level.
Like Clash of Champions coming up on September
15th. Yeah. And we are retiring the weekly Yellow Ropes Forever podcast. May she rest in peace. But in its place, we are bringing in a weekly ITR overrun. So every time when Sondra and I record Inside the Ropes, we will do an overrun at the end of it. That will particularly come in helpful when we record on Thursdays and there has been AEW and NXT the night before. So
yep.
We need more time. So we're going to fill it with that. That's at the $8 level. If you want to go higher than that, you can go to $10. You got all the stuff I've just mentioned at 6 and 8. And on top of that, you get the Big Four WWE pay-per-view reviews of Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, SummerSlam, Survivor Series. You get Finn Martin's articles and interviews. You get one coming up with Austin Kong, his What's Going Down, his Q&A. You get the original recipe with me and Robert once a month. You get the weekly PowerSlam overrun. You get a Tuesday Night Titans review, which Ollie and I will be doing, which I have a feeling once
what
it starts.
What is that?
I have a feeling once it starts that Sondra's going to try and weasel her way into this one.
I genuinely don't even know what this is. I really haven't read through this graphic very well.
No, you have not. So WWF did a...
That was not on the thing that we discussed earlier. That's new.
No, it's not.
No, the thing from Toronto.
Tuesday Night Titans wasn't on that?
I don't think so.
I think it was. I'll have a look. But anyway, the
Tuesday, I don't mind. I'm just curious.
Tuesday Night Titans was a show that WWF did 1984 to 1986, where they basically pretended to be like the Johnny Carson Tonight Show. And it's
that sounds amazing.
And it's hosted by Vince McMahon. Lord Alfred Hayes is the panelist, and they interview the wrestlers, but like in character. So like the Dating Game with Jim the Anvil Neidhart.
Are you serious?
Or like a massage. This is a serious one. They massage Greg the Hammer Valentine while they try
did
to get
back to it. Did he
notice? No, he did not. There's bits where like Vincent Mann's doing like Jewish bar mitzvah dancing. It is an insane show.
This show sounds amazing and I will be listening to every single episode.
So we will be starting that in September, Ollie and I. If you want, and then at the end of September, we're going to introduce a couple other levels. At $20, you get all the other stuff, plus you get a weekly Discord Retro Raw watch along with either Sondra or I, one of the two of us, which means that you can, while we watch, we'll be on a Discord, you can chat to us, we'll chat to you about what we're thinking about as it's going on, and also, I'll do a monthly video Q&A where you can ask me any question that you want, and I will answer it in some way. Or if I don't want to answer it, I'll find a way to get round it, but make it seem like I have answered it.
You've worked with Paul Heyman. You should, have studied a little bit.
I'm a Paul Heyman guy. And then the top level is the $100 level, which would be everything from all the other levels plus a podcast of your choice. The difference is recorded within 30 days. No more. Now, there's all the other ones that we backlog. They will be getting done. Don't worry.
Like, if you've pledged at $50 at this point, like, don't worry. We're not going to be like, hey, give us another $50 or we won't do your show, because that would be shitty. But we will get to all the ones that are current $50 requests, but from September 1 forward, or September 30 forward?
September 30th forward.
From September 30th forward, then all, like, request podcasts will be
and part of that is because level. To get people tied down within a couple of weeks, you know, we have to sort that out. But also, on top of that, we are also going to, if you do that, say it's Sondra and I, you also get a personalized video message from us and a special thank you on one of our YouTube videos, which is new. A thank you on YouTube. That's the thing that people do. I didn't know about. Ollie had to tell me, but that's there. So that's all the levels. You know, we try to make sure that our we give away the most on Patreon. I think that's a fair. Now people are going to ask, this isn't like a 6, 8, 10, and then it's going to go up to like 8, 10, 12. That is the 6, 8, and 10.
Like, this is a complete restructuring at these levels for a reason, because we don't want to have to switch. I mean, we were at our levels before for a few years, right? And so this is one of those, like, we really want this to be the thing going forward. We think this is fair. And we're putting out a lot of content. Like, I subscribe to some other Patreons that aren't ours myself, and I subscribe for like $8 to one particular one I'm not going to name, but like, I think we get not a wrestling one.
Okay.
Yeah. But you get like, I think one show a month and then like another bonus, like TV sort of thing.
Right. Okay.
And that's it for $8. And that's all the bonus content. And like, it's good. It's worth it. It's a lot of fun, but you know, like, we're putting out a lot of podcasts, I think, is the point of this story.
Yeah. And also, like, I don't think we want to get into the – if we start doing, like, a weekly NXT review and a weekly AEW review, I think it then
will die.
Too much. Well, I just don't think people have that much time in their lives.
I don't think people have enough time to listen to that much, and I don't think we have the time and energy to devote to it. And we want to make sure that the content that we put out is good and that we're able to, like, commit to it on schedule and on time and make it worth your while. So I think that that's kind of the most fair way to go about things. Because you don't want us to, like, every week being like, guys, we watched AEW. We're going to talk about it for an hour. But we're going to sound like we've been crawling through the desert, or Undertaker left us on a motorcycle in the desert without any sort of gas, and we have to kill a snake to get back somehow. Like, you don't want us sounding like the Big Show in the Undertaker story, right?
I mean, I kind of want us to sound like that. Yeah, I mean, this is going to be a very just kind of quick and breezy conversation. I guess one of the things we should talk about is that it was reported in The Observer yesterday that Enzo and Cass may have been contacted about returning to WWE as stars in the NXT brand. You've given me a facial reaction here that senses what you feel about this, but would you care to express it orally into the microphone?
I think the facial expression that I just gave Kenny could be summed up as like, no, do not want. I am not a fan of this. I do not care for them. I do not think that they are fantastic professional wrestlers. I loved Enzo and Cass in NXT. I really did. I thought they were great. I thought they were a brilliant part of the show. And if they could harness that sort of energy again, maybe fine. I just have no interest in seeing Enzo Amore perform. Like, I don't really have anything against Big Cass, but I just think he was kind of dull. But Enzo Amore, like, I'm just done. I'm just over it. And I was over it well, like, into his cruiserweight reign. I was just like, I'm done with the joke. I'm done with the story. I want him to not be there anymore. I was not sad when he was not there anymore. I just kind of have no use for it. Like, I mean, he decided to try and slag off wrestling too and be like, you know, I'm not a wrestler anymore and I'm going to be this rap musician. And that didn't work out for him. And he's like trying to have, I don't know, all of these other pursuits, but he's so far up his own arse that he can't get any of them off the ground. And I'm uninterested in seeing Enzo and Cass. I mean, that run-in thing that they did at that at the Madison Square Garden show that they didn't tell anyone about, and
so
people
good.
Got pissed and all that kind of stuff.
Well, I mean, look, that was.
But the fact that it was handled so poorly.
That was more an ROH than
that. It was more of an ROH thing than them, but like the fact that that was handled so poorly, and then they were just basically like, nope, no use for these guys anymore. I don't know, like, I feel like maybe you could bring them back as heels that would get major, major heat or something. But, like, I just don't care for it. I don't have the desire to see them in front of my face. Like, every day that I go by without Enzo Amore news, I'm happy. And then when Enzo Amore comes up in the news, I'm just like, why do you still exist?
I think they would be a good surprise. I think the other thing is, like, They were really good in
NXT. Do you think it would have been a better surprise if this hadn't broken, though?
Yes, 100%. But, like, the idea is that they were very good in NXT, then it all kind of went to shit when they went to the main roster, so maybe being back in NXT wouldn't be the worst thing. Also, in an era where, like, you know, one of the things in the Monday Night Wars was, where can we get surprises? Where can we get names? And Enzo and Cass are probably going to get snapped up at some point. It's just by who? By WWE or AEW. I do want to say it for
I suppose everyone is, but like, also, I just don't want it to be another like Blue Meanie situation, like we're watching on Retro Raw and it's like,
nothing's a Blue Meanie situation.
I feel like Enzo might be a Blue Meanie situation.
Do you remember when Enzo main evented Raw in the Cruiserweights and he got better ratings than any of the other Cruiserweights?
I remember his matches were terrible.
But that's not the point. He drew people in at a point. The Blue Meanie did not. The Blue Meanie is... I like the Blue Meanie. Stop making me say things.
I like the Blue Meanie too. I think he's wonderful. I'm looking forward to more of the Blonde Bitch project, so, but I just don't...
Let me give a nice thought to somebody. Big Cass was someone who had, some addiction issues and some whatever, and he seems to have got past it. Mm-hmm. He's got in better shape. He's improved himself. And I think that's commendable. So I'm a second chance kind of person, so I am open to it. It might be terrible. It might be great. If it's terrible, I get to laugh at it. If it's good, I get to enjoy it. So for me, I'm not as against it as you are. And plus, any excuse to get a consensual penis.
Rising from the ashes like a phoenix. I mean, why do I know the lyrics to that song? I do not care for Enzo Amore. I feel is the way I can end this part of the discussion.
So what else should we talk about? Raw and SmackDown, I saw bits and pieces of them this week because things happened. But
You've had things going on and you were traveling. And...
Things were going on. There was traveling going on. But the King of the Ring tournament, we're kind of down to the, we've got Ali and Andrade and Chad Gable.
Which is going to be so good.
And Chad Gable and Buddy Murphy. No, Chad... Let me pull the brackets up.
Pull up the brackets. While you're talking about that, I have really enjoyed King of the Ring so far. I don't know how you feel about it. Like, I feel like there's not... Is there a stake to King of the Ring? Or no. Do you just get to be king?
You get to be king. Okay, so we've got Elias against Ali, Chad Gable versus Andrade on SmackDown.
Chad Gable versus Andrade Cien Almas, I'm like so excited about.
Cedric and Baron on Raw and Samoa Joe and Ricochet, which means that when I'm in New York in a week and a bit, that... I guess I'm going to see Samoa Joe versus Cedric Alexander and Ali versus Andrade. So they're not bad matches to see.
I mean, you might see Ricochet versus Baron Corbin.
Oh, God. Yeah.
I think that almost seems a lot more likely. You really think Samoa Joe is going to beat Ricochet and Cedric Alexander is going to beat Baron Corbin?
Let me live my life.
Baron Corbin is beating Cedric Alexander. You should be happy about this.
I am. I don't know. Like, I love Baron Corbin when he doesn't wrestle.
That's true. It's weird because...
Ricochet Andrade is a good final.
But speaking of Baron Corbin on Raw...
But Ricochet is King Ricochet already.
So that's like... Now that Ricochet beat Drew McIntyre, which I was not... Like, I found during that match, I like both of them. I like Ricochet. I like Drew McIntyre. I found that when Ricochet pinned Drew McIntyre, I was upset about it. Mm-hmm. And you know how sometimes when I'm watching matches, I don't know who I'm cheering for until the match happens and then ends. And then I, gauge my feelings accordingly. I really wanted Drew McIntyre to be King of the Ring. And now he can't be the last King of Scotland. And I'm kind of upset about it. But if Ricochet had to go through over Drew McIntyre, then I kind of hope that it's going to be King Ricochet or Rey Andrade. Because I think that would be brilliant. And then... I would really like him to be king because then he can be Rey Andrade and then antagonize Rey Mysterio over it. And I think that would be fun too. But Baron Corbin on Raw, I thought was actually quite brilliant. Like I didn't really enjoy Baron Corbin versus The Miz because it was Baron Corbin versus The Miz, right? Like it, bless
them. I love the idea like the AEW is almost like, this is why we exist.
Yeah, exactly. I like The Miz. I think he's a better wrestler than people give him credit for. I have a confession to make, though. I'm starting to like Baron Corbin.
His promo was great.
His promo was really great. It was so fun. It was such a shit-eating heel.
But the issue with Baron Corbin has never been him as a promo.
But I've never connected to his promos as much as everyone else has.
Okay.
So it's always been kind of like, I get that he is good at being a bad guy, and that's fun, but it's never like, when you can see something and okay, I see what you're doing, and then versus when it clicks for you and you're like, oh, I hate you. Like, this week, and I guess in recent weeks, I would say this has been a realization that's been brewing. But Baron Corbin's actually been kind of clicking for me a little bit. And it feels like it lends credence to my Triple H's Baron Corbin argument, but in the opposite way.
You will till your dying days try to make that stick, won't you?
I think it's a thing. Like, I don't think that I'm being delusional. And me thinking that Baron Corbin is getting good, I think actually bolsters your argument more than mine, because it's like, I really feel like they have similar career trajectories and things have just kind of been clicking for Baron Corbin more lately. Like, do I find him the most compelling in the ring? No.
The main difference is that Triple H, I know you didn't like them, right? Mm-hmm. But most people felt like he was in matches that were very good for years, not as often, right? But like, he had the cage match with Mick Foley at SummerSlam 97. He had the ladder match at SummerSlam 98. You know, like, there was parts of Triple H you go, there's something there. I get why they stick
but
with
he was so dull for most of the time.
But Baron Corbin's not had one of those matches.
Do you think that Baron Corbin, because I think Baron Corbin's always been like a perfectly competent professional wrestler. He's just been kind of boring.
He's just very average.
But do you think that if he had had opponents who were over and better, that that would have been different? Because I think like that's the difference between WWE in 1999 and WWE mm-hmm. now, is that the characters don't feel as fully formed and you don't feel like you're like,
well, I think also, like,
into the story
like,
as much.
Like Triple H, when he was Hunter Hearst Helmsley, he wasn't put into like 25-minute TV main events. One of the points is Triple H did work with Steve Austin, who was very hot, Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins is a good babyface, but Seth Rollins isn't the sort of babyface who can pull a good match out of Baron Corbin.
I think Seth Rollins is a good babyface against a great heel. I don't know that Seth Rollins is a good babyface to carry a feud. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes when a feud needs, like, sometimes the feud is about the babyface and how much you like them, and any heel that goes against them is going to be dastardly because they're so over, right? Like, Becky Lynch leading into WrestleMania. Anyone against Becky Lynch leading into WrestleMania is going to be, like, the dastardly, dastardly person you don't want to see, because Becky Lynch is our favorite. I don't think Seth Rollins is that guy that's going to be, like, your favorite and has grassroots, like, support behind him. Mm-hmm. But against someone like Brock Lesnar, who you really don't want to see win, I think Seth Rollins can be a great baby face.
I think that's a fair point. We'll see with Baron Corbin. When Baron Corbin can have one match that feels like it's good,
mm-hmm.
then I think the comparison gains more weight.
Yes.
I think that's for me,
that's
when I need
fair.
I need to see that before I go, okay, I get the comparison. Because otherwise I go, Corbin's just like so...
I think I'm probably looking more at character-wise stuff. And also how much Triple H bored me for so many years.
Just to continue with our disagreement, I really like the pairing of Robert Roode and Dolph Ziggler. I feel like it's kind of like the two of them, they're kind of aimless on their own. Apparently, according to The Observer, this was a Paul Heyman move. He's very high on Bobby Roode, or Robert Roode, so he wanted to kind of do something. And, you know, Roode and Ziggler as a tag team, not the worst idea.
I guess it's not, I mean, it's not the worst idea. I can think of worse ideas, like bringing Enzo Amore back. But I don't know, for me, like, there were other tag teams in this that I would have liked to see be a thing. Like, I think Heavy Machinery actually were becoming more of an interesting part of SmackDown, when they were up against Daniel Bryan and Eric Rowan and stuff. Like, I think Heavy Machinery were kind of becoming a lot more interesting to me. And I've always liked them, but I think they were becoming more like actual, like, oh no, I could see them as contenders, right? And this is that classic thing of putting two singles guys together who've never tagged together before, and then they just win because they're better. But like, it's Robert Roode and Dolph Ziggler, so it's almost worse
mm-hmm.
than when it's like Seth Rollins and Braun Strowman, for instance. So it's just frustrating to me because I don't care for Dolph Ziggler. We know this. even though, like, he's actually, again, like, meta Dolph Ziggler is almost working for me on that level that, like, okay, you're in on the joke. You understand that you're shite. You're using it. Fine. You're here. I have to watch the program. I'm kind of enjoying what you're doing with it. But, like, I think it's more conceptually I have a problem with them because I think they were very good in the matches. And I think that this is a tag team that, you know, sometimes thrown together guys can work. Like, Owen Hart and Jeff Jarrett kind of worked for me after a while, but I was like, why are they together at first, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know why I'm in retro mindset right now, but this is what happens when you live in two different time frames. So I'm not saying it can't work. I'm just saying that, like, I was a little bummed that other tag teams that I enjoy who have been established tag teams are not the number one contenders, and it's, like, Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode because reasons, ?
To even further cement our disagreement, you think
we're just fighting tonight.
You think that the whodunit on SmackDown is good, and I am bored.
Okay, I am not bored. I am confused and actually a little angry after rewatching the end segment of SmackDown.
The idea is, right, so let's go by Old Man Rowan from last week. The idea is that every week they're giving you a little something that's going to get you further. Now, the problem is, as everybody who's listened to this who watched in 2000 knows, I want to give very specific examples about 2000 who done it, but I can't because we're watching it in a year's time.
Is that the Rikishi one?
Yes, but what I will say about that is, in that, there was different plot points, and it was like, it left you hanging a wee bit to like, oh, what could happen in a way that you want to see.
You could use examples from Who Attacked Aleister Black.
Yes, like Nikki Cross, she was laughing, she was like, I know what happened, blah, blah. This is just rubbish. It's like, oh, there's a Rowan lookalike. Oh, Roman Reigns is in the room with them and is staring at them for like a minute and a half, and then we come to TV the next week and nothing apparently happened in the room when they were in. Brian's shouting, because apparently now Rowan did do it. And I'm just like, can someone just watch Breaking Bad and get some perception of how you do episodic television, please?
I have a different issue with it than you do. I love the idea of this whodunit, and I don't have any... Were you bored with it last week already, right? Like, you just weren't a
last
fan.
Last week was my last point of, like, okay, I get that we're kind of waiting for something to happen. Can something happen now? And I feel like every week, what's happening is people are less interested than they were the week before. And I feel like you want it to be going more in the direction of being interested. Because
I understand that I'm the type of person to, like, actively make myself interested in this sort of story, right? Like, mm-hmm. I get that. So I get why it might not work for you. Up until last week, it was working for me brilliantly. I thought the reveal of a second Eric Rowan lookalike who might just be a dude that they found off the street, I really thought that was going to be some sort of, like, orchestration of Daniel Bryan and Eric Rowan. So they were like, you thought you saw Eric Rowan, but you did not, and it was this man, and he was hired by someone else. And I thought there were a lot of places they could go with that. It felt like story progression. It felt like incremental, you know, episodic storytelling, right? Mm-hmm. This week baffles me because they showed the funniest camera shot that they've shown in SmackDown history for quite a while, the scaffolding falling on Roman Reigns, right? But they showed it from like a pulled back angle. I don't know why we didn't have this pulled back angle before. Apparently someone had alternate footage. I don't know. I don't know why we needed Buddy Murphy to get beaten up by Roman Reigns when there was actually like a skulking red bearded figure on camera, but I'm okay with it. I'm here for it. I love all of this stuff. I love how hokey it is. It's great. Like, it's right up my alley. My issue is that the footage they showed on SmackDown, it shows sort of a blurry red bearded figure, right?
Mm-hmm. Rowan.
Or other guy.
But here's the thing, right? The only other thing that makes this make sense as if it's Sheamus.
Oh my gosh. I want it to be Sheamus so badly. But my issue is that it seems like this week's episode and last week's episode should be reversed, right? Mm-hmm. Like, wouldn't it have made more sense if last week you had pulled back footage and you saw a red-bearded skulking figure to support Buddy Murphy's theory, and Daniel Bryan was like, what the fuck, Eric Rowan? Like, we talked about this. You didn't do it. You said that you were investigating who actually did it. Why did you lie to me? We have this fight. And then Eric Rowan's like, no, I did not do it. I am innocent. I will go and clear my name or something. And then they brought out the Eric Rowan lookalike. Because from the footage, like, it's so blurry that it could have been Rowan. It could have been the lookalike. It could have been Sheamus. So the order of things just isn't making sense to me. And then, like, I'm intrigued by Eric Rowan going out on his own and attacking Roman Reigns. That is a part of the story that interests me, if that is indeed what happened. I am intrigued by Daniel Bryan getting upset because Eric Rowan lied to him when he took Eric Rowan under his wing. And they had, you know, Wyatt family continuity and all this sort of stuff. Like, that's the kind of stuff I want to see. I just feel like they're telling the story out of order on television, and it's not making a lot of sense. But I still want it to make sense. I still want to find out what happened. I just really hope there's a payoff, and I'm losing faith in that because of the order of the storytelling a little bit. But I still, like, I am clinging to hope here more than you are, because you know me and I love a whodunit.
Our TGI Fridays is now in the way. So as we wrap up, All Out, we now have Pac versus Omega rather than Moxley versus Omega. What do you make of the new matchup?
I don't think it is as box office. I personally am more excited to see Pac versus Kenny Omega because, of course, I am, because I love Pac so much. And now I get to see him live, and I haven't seen him live since I don't even know when. Like, I saw him on an NXT show at one point. I'm just really, really excited about the news. I think it's super unfortunate that Jon Moxley is injured and is out of StarCast and can't do all of the things. Like, it just sucks for him. Like, when he tweeted, "This fucking sucks," it does fucking suck. And I feel really bad for the guy. But yeah, I'm hoping that Pac and Kenny Omega pull off something special, because I feel like Kenny Omega hasn't really had, like, a killer match in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that he could definitely use that. And also, I love Pac so much, and I want him to be a player because he's one of my faves.
I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be good. What match are you looking forward to the most at the pay-per-view? I do want to say I'm really excited about the 21 Women Casino Battle Royale, especially given that, like, Roddy Piper's daughter is going to be in it.
Tail Piper. Did you see her promo and stuff, mm-hmm, when they introduced her? Yeah. I thought that was great.
What match are you looking forward to the most?
It is hard to choose a match. Darby Allin versus Joey Janela versus Jimmy Havoc might take it for me, because it's just bound to be crazy, right? I have no idea what they're going to do. It's going to be insane, and I just don't know. It's between that one and the Pac versus Kenny Omega match, because it's Pac versus Kenny Omega. Like, of course. I don't know. What one are you most excited for?
I'm really looking forward to Paige and Jericho, because I feel like that's going to give us, like, we're gonna see where we're going at that point. And is there something else happening afterwards? Cody and Sean Spears. Like, Cody's been the best match of all the shows.
Actually, that one, like...
Because, like...
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that one, too. And I think Sean Spears has been brilliant in this lead-up to
the Tully Blanchard thing is great with him.
Yep.
Because, like, look at it. Like, All In, Cody, Nick Aldis was the match. Double or Nothing, Cody Dustin was the match. Mm-hmm. Fighter Fest, Cody Darby Allin. Every time Cody's having a match, a solo match, it is stealing the show every time.
Not bad for a guy who can't wrestle.
Exactly.
Right? I did inverted commas when I said can't wrestle.
I'm going to ask you a question. I just want a yes or no answer. Is CM Punk going to turn up at All Out?
No.
Okay.
But if he does, I'll be really excited, but no.
I say yes. I think he does.
Do you?
I think he does.
I am putting myself in the mind frame of no.
I'm doing my Brexit vote, 52 to 48. But really, it's fake news. It's been infiltrated through my Facebook. That's it for us. We are off into the podcast.
Can I say something, like, really quick about Buddy Murphy and Mustafa Ali? I was really happy that Buddy Murphy and Mustafa Ali got to be on television and not in a dark match that I couldn't see. And also, just another, like, retro raw comparison, they remind me of Edge and Hardy Edge and Christian and the Hardy Boys, in terms of, like, guys that are up and coming and really good wrestlers and putting on matches that are just killer and, like, getting over with wrestling. And even though they don't have a Gangrel and a Michael Hayes, like, that might be to their benefit. Who knows? Like, you be the judge of that. But it seems like they are two guys that if Paul Heyman and Eric Bischoff are like, hey, let's do something with this and have killer matches every week, then we could be in for some real good wrestling. And I love it. And I'm trying to be succinct, but I'm really excited about it, and they did really well. And I know a lot of people had issues with Buddy Murphy losing after he's been so built, but to me, it just made Mustafa Ali also feel like a player, because Buddy Murphy having these wins and feeling like a big deal, they feel like on each other's level, especially considering the history, and I really love them. And yay, 205 Live people.
What are the plugs?
Follow me on Twitter at SandraRuthRW. Follow Kenny on Twitter at KennyMC1985. Inside the Ropes at Inside_the Ropes. Patreon.com/InsideTheRopes for everything we talked about earlier in the podcast. YouTube.com/InsideTheRopes for all the media going up this weekend from StarCast. And InsideTheRopes.co.uk for tickets to see Bret Hart in October.
Also, congratulations to Cesaro for having his teeth back.
Oh, congratulations.
Cesaro has his teeth back, so that's good for him.
Aw, his smile's so beautiful.
And he's going to be at NXT TakeOver UK this weekend.
I'm so excited about that. We didn't talk about NXT UK. And, like, honestly, I haven't been watching the weekly program, but Cesaro's promo that he wanted to be in NXT UK and, like, fight someone and be there and be a part of it, I got super excited. Like, I don't know when we're going to have a chance to watch that show. It might be after we both get home.
Yep.
But, it is definitely a show that I look forward to watching, and we will cover it in some form. I'm sure we'll discuss the main talking points.
Love you lots, everyone. Bye.
Bye. We're going to go eat food. I'm so hungry. Bye.